Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women
Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist
of lime.
Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Every episode lately has been like Katie eventually gets on to blowing or sucking.
I wake up most mornings and think I'm going to nick something that belongs to this guy. I don't know. Like...
Drunk women solving technically a crime.
Real fucks, let's move on.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today we are joined by comedian and writer Athena Cablenio.
Yay! Oh, bless her. That's lovely. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. Athena, we asked one question on this podcast, which is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yeah, twice.
Ooh.
Twice, yeah. It's a bit of a story. I'll try and make it concise. So one time I get my stuff nicked from a gym, right?
Oh.
I know, which sucked. And it was a gym that didn't have any lockers, bizarrely. So made a complaint. Because it was just a gym where you kind of put your stuff in a... They had lots of baskets and it was like a trust gym, I guess.
Oh,
my stuff nicked. Oh, man. And I had stuff that I had a party to go to right after. My earrings were in my bag.
Oh, no.
You know.
No.
So bizarrely enough, like, I had my clothes, but like... valuables and stuff like that, so I could get change and stuff. But it was all, and I was just thinking, man, I would look really nice tonight with my earrings, but they was in my wallet. So, and the second time, this is generally true, I got my stuff nicked from a gym again. So, and this gym did have lockers. So I finished my workout, I go to look at my locker, and I see a locker that's wide open, and I'm like, I thought I locked it. And I look in this locker, and all I see is my brown coat. And I'm like, there's nothing else in this locker. My stuff's been nicked. And I kick up a fuss. I say I use them. The gym had like branded padlocks, right?
Okay.
So I'm like, I use one of your branded padlocks. Someone broke in, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I need CCTV so I can see who did it. And they wouldn't give it to me. So I had to go to the police.
Wow.
And by the way, like, my car keys are there. I had to go to Manchester the next day.
Shit.
It was just ridiculous. My phone was there. I had to get like a burner phone, like a drug dealer. I had to use. Anyway, after ages, it must have taken about 2 weeks, the police finally get hold of the CCTV. And yeah. I'm very excited by this because I'm like, yeah, I'm going to find out which fucker did this. This is justice. You know? I hate the police normally, but finally my tax money, taxpayers' money is coming back to me. When the copper calls me, he's like, yeah, so what happened was you walk into the gym and you put all your stuff in your locker, and then you come back and you basically open a random locker and you take someone else's coat.
What? No way.
What happened was, I thought someone's broken into my locker, and normally you'd open the locker and it would be empty, but unfortunately this locker happened to have a near identical coat to mine.
That is amazing.
Oh my god.
So that started off like a whole thing, and I was very grateful that had happened because all my stuff was in my locker, and I was like, thank god.
Just still there waiting for you.
Well, yeah, they managed to break into the locker to get my stuff out, but that poor, I stole someone else's coat.
Fucking hell, you were like...
by accident. But so I took that back to the gym and I was like, yeah. Once I'd realised it wasn't my coat, I was like, oh, this isn't my coat. It's got, the pockets are bigger and it's weird, but it was like near identical.
Yeah.
It was near identical. It was like 90% identical. It was a Uniqlo coat. So what happened was, you know how you get different coats from the same shop, you know? Yeah, so it was a very innocent mistake, but very, so now when I go to the gym, I don't use a branded padlock. I have a very personalized padlock.
Is my lock. Like when people have you seen them at the airport, people who have like their own face or something as a covering for their suitcase or like their dog or something.
That's what you need. That's because of people like me. Why that exists, because people like me are idiots. I was so embarrassed. Especially the way the police officer just described it to me. Like, he didn't just say, oh, you made a mistake. He was like, well, let me tell you what I saw in the video. First of all, you walked in like he really like enjoyed telling me what I'd done. Yeah. And, like, it was a real narrative structure. There was a real narrative structure to the results of his investigation.
Which
was even more
embarrassing. I think they like they so rarely fucking like solve any crimes, I imagine.
Like... right? It's so true. Like stuff like with theft, like I've had other stuff nicked that, you know, you don't even bother reporting to the police. Right. And I was like, because this is one of those gyms that you just use a code to get in. So there's cameras everywhere. It's the surveillance. Every inch of that place has got cameras. So I was like, I felt like Sister Knight from The Watchmen. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I'm going to get some justice today. That was me. So very, very silly of me. But yeah, I have been a victim, and I've also been a criminal.
But accidental.
And that's exactly what the cycle looks like for everyone. It always starts in a gym.
I've got my kids' stickers on my gym padlock, so I know it's mine.
That's exactly what you should do, though. Yeah. So you're smart. But I just kind of, I can't believe I was so willing to believe that my gym lock had been broken into. Like,
no.
It's just such a weird thing.
You had been done wrong before, though. Like, why wouldn't you?
That's true. The fact it happened before, I was like, oh, here we go again. And it was in Wood Green, which is a part of North London, which is the kind of part of North London where that kind of thing happens.
Right.
So, yeah. Do you know how the way I don't get my stuff nicked at the gym, don't go to the gym.
Oh, genius. Yeah.
It's so clever. So I'm really very unhealthy, but...
Hannah, that's really smart.
Thank you.
I just wondered if anyone else at the Trust Gym, I know that's not technically what it's called, but did anyone else have their stuff stolen? Do you know did they do like a big sweep or was it just like a...
No, but the funny thing was when I... So the gym was kind of in the basement and the reception was upstairs. And when I went upstairs and I was like... I think I knew who nicked it. There were these people being really shifty, and I was like, when you reflect on their behaviour, you're like, oh, there was probably, because they were like loitering around the changing area, you know.
Oh.
And when I said to the gym staff, my stuff's been nicked, they were like, oh yeah. And I said, oh, there were these people, and I described them, and they were like, yeah, they've been known to do that. This is in Camden, by the way, which is also typical of the area. Like, that's not good enough. I don't think I reported it at that time to the police. I just thought, you know, what can you do? Well, it might be that the basement didn't have lockers, but upstairs did. So I can't remember why there were no lockers downstairs, because that feels really odd. But there were because I remember having a big old... I remember, like, making recommendations, like, like a middle class white woman. You know, I was like probably like, yeah, 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 this is what you should do. You should have lockers, you should do this, you should do that. But I definitely know the gym vicinity, that in the vicinity of the gym, in the workout area, in the changing room, and the showers, there wasn't anywhere secure for your belongings.
That seems so stupid.
It was a trust gym, and that happens. You get like a lot of like local fitness clubs have like just bask, but the point is you don't take valuables. You know, you go, you take your towel, take your sanitary pads or whatever you take to the gym.
Sure. If you need them.
Just stuff you need, right? Stuff you need. You're not supposed to take all your stuff, but I would have gone after work and had all my stuff on me.
Yeah.
You had places to go. Yeah. But yeah, I know. But I love the second story just because I feel like those are the only times that I stand up for myself is when I've got all the information wrong and then I have to apologize at the end of it. Like, it's never the moment. All the times I should have stood up for myself and never have, and then it's when I'm the asshole and I got wrong.
We should never stand up for ourselves. Feminism has failed us. We should quiet
I'm
and
so
sit
glad.
In the corner and just be like shrinking violets and don't mind me.
That's the lesson here. That is the lesson.
Don't go to the gym.
Not be your coach.
Don't stand up for yourself. Women,
absolutely.
Empower. Do it.
Yeah. If we do nothing else.
Like, the one thing that we sort of like ask at the end of like the have you been a victim of a crime question is often like, what would you say to the person who committed the crime against you? But it's like, it's you.
Well, what would I say? I'd say, you know what? You're still beautiful, stunning, hilarious, talented.
Yes, love it.
You're still
love
all
it.
Of those things, you know.
Yes.
So what? You've got a coat mixed up. So what?
Yeah. Could happen to anyone.
Well, I don't know what I'd say.
That's awesome. Conquer. I love it.
You absolutely
yeah, I like
conquer.
That.
The jacket that wasn't mine didn't even smell right. But I didn't... Like, nothing. I should have said that because my keys were in the locker, I couldn't get into my house and none of my housemates were in. So I literally spent a night on my porch waiting for, and I don't think anyone came until like 3 a.m. And
shit.
I'm trying to remember why I couldn't go to my mum's house and stuff. I guess because I would have had to walk and I, you know, didn't have any money.
You had already been to the gym, so.
So I spent all night like cuddling this warm, smelly coat that wasn't mine.
God.
And I didn't notice. You know,
well, no, because it was so traumatic. Of course, you didn't notice.
Exactly. So my brain is unreliable, and I'm not a reliable witness or anything like that. So God, please don't call me up if I happen to be present when something's happening, because I won't have a clue. I'm not reliable. And they'll bring up this podcast. The defence will bring up this podcast and say she's an idiot. How can you have her in a court of law? She doesn't know what's going on.
If I witnessed a crime, I think I'd immediately like. And this sounds a bit like I want to put it straight onto Instagram, but I wouldn't. I'd just film myself and say, this is exactly what I saw.
Oh, before you forget.
Because when I did jury duty, like, loads of, like, the witnesses, you know, the crime had happened, like, a year and a half before by the time it had got to court. And they were going, like, yeah, well, I think that's what happened. And everyone was like, well, the witnesses didn't seem to know. And it's like, yeah, but... Mm. But if you had that thing of yourself saying... And then you can put it on Instagram later when the...
But it's true. Like, what were you doing last Tuesday?
Yeah,
fuck no.
Couldn't tell you.
And yeah. I do the same thing every day. You know, like, I couldn't tell you. So memories are very fallible.
That's all I was going to say, is it's so frightening when you actually look at the research and the psychology of recall and how easily someone is swayed. And it's just, you almost can't believe anything anyone says. Yikes.
Yeah.
And on that note, Hannah.
Well, on that real fucked, let's move on.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
I want to thank Tom and Becky from Paris, who are our listeners from Paris, who they suggested today's crime. And today we're talking about the world's first car theft. Bit of fun.
I imagine that'd be quite easy if it was the world's first car.
Yeah.
Get into it and piss off. Like, much security. Maybe there's a dog in the boot or something, I don't know.
Yeah, surely they're going to drive down the road for 20 minutes and then need gas. What era car?
Was it a Winston car where they had to like lift it up and like, run away?
It was the equivalent of the trust gym. It was like trust cars. Like, we didn't see this coming.
I mean, straight out of the gates, do you think the first person to jack a car was a man or a woman?
I have a problem with us calling this the first time a car got stolen. Like, how could that be? Like, sorry, I'm going to be annoying. Like, just there will have been cars, there will have been thefts.
Wait and see, Katie, wait and see. Naysayer.
Yeah, I'm a naysayer.
Well, I'm going to say woman to answer the question.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I hope it's a woman.
Any reasoning behind thinking it could be a woman?
Well, just thinking practically, you probably wouldn't be able to buy a car if you were a woman back then. So you'd probably have to nick one.
The only way you could get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's sound logic, and it was a woman. It was Bertha Benz,
who was
age... Good old Bertha. She's age 39. And this happened in Germany.
Did she steal a Benz and her name is Benz?
Yes, but why do you think it could be the first car ever?
Oh, wait.
She looked for her husband. Did she look for her husband? Go on, I love her. She's amazing. Go on, Bertha. You deserve that car. That man was trash. Okay, whatever he did, you deserve that car. All right, yeah. Good on you, Bertha. Did she meet her husband's car?
Do you know what? She did.
I love this.
So she stole her husband's car. But when do you think this happened? When do you think was the first sort of the first car? And it was Mr. Mercedes-Benz. When do you think it was happened? Because basically it was the first car theft because it was the first car. It was his prototype.
There's no other cars on the road. This is the prototype.
Yeah, this is the prototype of the Benz patent motor wagon, it was called.
So this,
they got a bit cooler with the names after a while.
Gotta be late 1800s.
Hey girls, do you like my motor wagon?
Yeah. So you're saying 18 something?
I'm saying like 1894.
Any advance on 1894?
I'm gonna go for, I think it'll be post World War One. I'm gonna go for 1930s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taylor?
Okay, so everything America's ever done, they've stolen. And so I grew up learning about like Henry Ford, right? And like his cars, those went out a lot further ago than I ever thought. Like I feel like Henry Ford's first car was like 1905. So I think this is maybe... Katie, what did you say?
I said 1894.
I'm going to say 1897.
Okay. It was 1888.
Wow.
I win.
So Katie was closest. You do win. So it's 1888, Bertha Benz. She's in Germany. Do you think that was a good time to be a woman in Germany?
It's never a good time to be a woman, ever, anywhere.
Yeah.
This is true.
So that's a trick question.
Yeah.
It was a trick question.
Oh, I was hoping there was some twist. Like, it was actually this pocket of progressive... Yeah.
They were allowed to read books and everything.
No, in Germany, you either belonged to your father or to your husband, if you're lucky enough to get married. And indeed, there's an old German proverb, which is women and gouty legs are best at home.
Gouty, as in they have gout.
Yeah.
So they're kind of comparing women to like, oh, just if you've got a gouty leg, like leave it at home. But also women like should be left at home.
And then women with gouty legs, double trouble.
Yeah, they can never go out.
Also, let's just acknowledge how much worse that probably sounds in German. It sounds bad enough in English, but then imagine that sentence in German. Come on.
It's
twice as long. It's very harsh.
It's not a fun time.
It's like Gaucher Shane.
So the car, Bertha steals. It was a prototype of the Benz patent motor wagon, which was also known as the horseless carriage because at that point, like cars, they literally looked like a horse and carriage, but without the horses.
I wish we still called them that because it's still technically true.
Yes, it is.
And Nissan Micra is a horseless carriage. Mm.
They're driven like one.
Yeah.
Nissan Micras, honestly, people driving it might as well be dragged by a horse. 69 miles an hour in the fast lane, you know?
Yeah. Move. I used to own a smart car and it maxed out at 62. I'd drive on the motorway.
You've got a passenger in them. It's you can't go uphill, you've got to get out and push. It's great. They're nippy though.
Yeah. They're adorable until you have to actually drive on the motorway and then you're like, I'm going to die.
Did you have one of the proper small smart cars?
Yeah, like the tiny, tiny ones when I lived in Wales.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had a job in Swansea, so I'd drive from Cardiff to Swansea, and there's this stretch near Port Talbot where the wind is so strong, it's like you're in a tornado, and honestly, every time I thought I was going to die, I'm like, I am not getting paid enough to do this. I would just like shake around.
Going back to...
Easy to park, though.
So easy to park, like any angle, and that's my kind of car.
Yeah.
So her husband was Carl Benz, who was of Mercedes-Benz fame. Now, what do you think made Bertha wake up on the morning of the 5th of August, 1888, and think, I'm going to nick my husband's car?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I wake up most mornings and think I'm going to nick something that belongs to this guy. I don't know. Like, it's just... It's more like what made her wait so long? Yes. That's the question I want to ask.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they're so annoying.
Well, actually, I'll give you a clue. And the clue is that actually, like, her intentions were actually good. Which is a bit of a shame because I like immediately when you're all like, yes, like, to steal his fucking car. She had good intentions behind what she was doing.
Oh. So was she going to pick up his mistress Mercedes?
Yeah. I love it, taking it to the car wash. This will be good in a few years, 50 years time. Any ideas?
Oh, somebody was ill and she had to get them to a doctor quickly.
Ah, that's a good shout.
That's a good intention. I'm so confused by the good intention.
Well, what it was, and well, for a start, it was classified as a theft because she's a woman, and like you said earlier, she can't own anything. She's not allowed to own anything.
She didn't ask his. The gout cannot drive a car. Can't license gout.
So basically, and she didn't ask her husband's permission, and obviously, like at this time, nobody owned a car, so you know,
you
were women allowed to drive? No, you didn't need a license.
I bet she could have been pissed.
Yeah, she could have literally existed.
Yes, hammered.
What a time to be driving. Like, beautiful. But yeah, so basically she just left him a note on the kitchen table saying, see ya. And because Carl Benz was a brilliant inventor, but he was a terrible businessman, and he'd invented the car in 1885, but hadn't marketed it properly, and he really kind of didn't believe in it, and was actually scared of the consequences of inventing and selling a car. So she stole it because she was like, I've got to show this to the world. I've got to show people that this is a thing that can work. Yeah, that's what she did, because he's just a shit businessman.
So she's a power behind the throne kind of thing.
Do you know what I mean? The most premium, expensive cars in the world to be birthers.
People getting shit done.
So why do you think, actually, that Carl Benz was quite like worried about the consequences of inventing and selling a car? And because it was quite a controversial thing within Germany. Can you think why it would be
because
controversial?
Because the horse industry is going to go bankrupt.
Horses?
Yeah. Was it Go ahead, Athena.
No, I was going to say, did he get visited by someone from the future who told him about climate change?
Yes.
It will make it easier to for like the school run, but you know, the ozone layer and all that.
Oh my god.
That's my
Bertha
favorite.
Is now
answer.
Like a bad guy.
Oh my god, that's the Back to the Future I want to see.
Yeah.
Doc Brown.
Stick to horses.
Taylor, any advice?
I don't even remember because that answer was so much better than mine.
Yeah.
Well, what an idiot. What are you talking about? He was visited by someone from 2020.
That's it.
It was Greta Thunberg.
Was it religious? I just always put it down to religion, like Lutheranism, and they're like, cars are sexual, the engine is going to remind us of an orgasm, and we can't have those because God.
You know, like now how there's like all lobbyists, you know, the tobacco lobby and the pharmaceuticals and stuff. I feel like there was a horse lobby.
Do you know what? Actually, I think we've been doing this podcast for too long because you're right. And it was the Kaiser of Germany loved horses and called anyone who would try to replace them unpatriotic. Yeah, it was literally just that he loved horses, and he was scared of the horse for the horse industry, and also it was the ultra conservative church who would look upon horses
that
carriages
too.
As heresy
or
witchcraft. But Bertha didn't give a shit, mate. Like, she doesn't give a shit about the planet either.
She didn't care about that future person.
No, not at all. And, yeah, so she nicked the car out of their little workshop and took their two children, both boys, aged 15 and 13, on the first ever, like, joyride, essentially, to try and drum up publicity and prove to the world that a horseless carriage...
She brought the teens.
Yeah,
that's
she
amazing.
Brought the two kids. It is funny, isn't it, that like in that day and age, it's probably because, I don't know, her husband probably couldn't deal with a day of looking after the children on his own.
I know, like, you might as well get in the car because you'll die if I stay.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is the best day of Bertha's life. No matter what happens in the story, this is the best day she's ever had.
Well, so where do you think they went? If this is the best day, this is the day that she's like, right, we're going on this road trip. Where did they
where
go?
This is
a PR stunt.
Yeah, they're in Germany.
But like, what are they in a big city or are they just in like a little?
They're in
village?
Like a small town.
Oh, okay, so does she go? It's still Prussia, then, isn't it? So all bets are off.
Maybe.
I don't even know what What cities exist?
I know, and I literally took all the cities out of this because I was like, oh, I can't pronounce that. It's like small village in Germany.
If you want publicity, you just go in 1880 whatever, and it's Germany. I guess you go to the Marketplatz.
Yes.
What?
That's German, isn't it?
That checks out.
Yeah. Or like you could do it, go to the German Christmas markets here. Or maybe
somewhere there's a busy place like a market, or like, you know, there's an opera house, so there's a crowd coming out. You need a big audience for people to see it.
You're right. She goes through a couple of towns because she's going to visit her mother. That's the sort
she
of
She wants
like
publicity, so she visits her mum.
Yeah.
Because mums are gossips, you know. They shout all your business out loud.
Yeah, that's
if you want no one to know anything, like, don't tell your mum. But if you want everyone to know, tell your mum.
Yes. Yeah. She's going to tell everyone.
She knows.
That's the best PR ever.
Yeah. So she lived 55 miles away.
Wow.
Katie, that's 90 kilometres.
All right.
So, yeah, this is an audacious plan because cars have never been seen on the road before. And like what you guys were saying is that, like, essentially it looked like a carriage being pulled by invisible horses.
Like a ghost.
And it freaked people the fuck out.
Wow.
They were like... Like, some people were like, wow, this is amazing. But others were like, this is really, really scary. And not only that, it's a woman driving it as well.
So this is the devil on wheels.
Yeah, they genuinely thought she was a witch.
Yeah, I bet.
Wow.
Yeah, because she was a woman making her own choices.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So how long do you think it would take her to drive 55 miles in the first ever car?
At least three times as long as today, so like 3 hours, I'm gonna say.
Okay, 3 hours?
Yeah, I'd go with that. I'd probably do about 10 miles an hour. So probably you should probably like shocking people, but at walking pace. You might as well get a horse, love. It's quicker.
Yeah, it's like being in traffic.
Yeah, people on horses just like taking it over and stuff. Katie, how long?
3 hours is a sensible answer. I feel like it's either going to be like 6 hours or...
Could be longer.
Okay. Well, actually, Athena, you were right because it travelled at 9 miles per hour.
Huh.
So, yeah. So it was kind of about that
That's a nice run, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get out of breath, but it's, you know, you can sustain that pace, which means what a waste of. Why have the car? You could literally get out and run faster in the car. It's not too funny.
Yeah, it took her 10 hours, but that's because there were quite a few teething problems along the way, and I think that's. Go on, Kate.
No, just like refilling with petrol and getting too hot and breaking down, like...
Yeah, and essentially this became like, it became the first test drive as well.
Wow.
And she is the reason why like car manufacturers now do test drives.
Wow.
Because as she was driving, like shit started happening and because Bertha was amazing, she was an inventor as well. Like she had like, basically, she invented half of the car anyway as well with car bells.
Which half? And the back half or the front half? Yeah. If it's just, I'll put a boot on it, I think that's probably a bit too much credit, mate. Do you know? Yeah. Wind your neck, love. It's just a container, really. Yeah.
So useful, though. So useful. But her name wasn't on the patent. Why do you think that was?
Sexism.
Yeah, patriarchy.
I'm going to throw a curveball and just say it was just too small. They just couldn't fit her name.
Do you know what, Taylor? I love your optimism. But yes, it was patriarchy. It was sexism. And also it was because she was a married woman. Apparently if she'd been unmarried, she could have been on the patent.
Yeah, you sign away your rights when you get married.
Yeah, when it's I sang Carol, the Bertha is implied.
Right, yes, yeah. Exactly. And and she was just this great businesswoman, but strictly she just wasn't allowed to be and wasn't allowed to be on patents. Or and when she first met Benz, she invested in his company, which she could only do because she was unmarried. Where do you think she got that money from?
Inheritance? Oh, in her own inventions.
Oh, I wish. Any idea where, like... Well, basically, as a dowry. I've just realized, like, yeah, so...
But if it's a dowry, she doesn't get to choose what it gets spent on.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. She did have this dowry, but then when she got married to her husband, it sort of all goes to him anyway.
Right.
So I don't know whether it was just a sort of... But that, I think, happened before they got married.
Yeah.
But yeah, so essentially she helped invent the car, but and she also invested in it, is kind of the point. Like, you know, she...
She paid for the parts.
Yeah, so...
With her own female parts.
Yeah. But she's basically, her husband wasn't doing like the marketing and he wasn't sort of pushing this invention. So she says, I'm going to do something about it. It didn't have a petrol tank. That's something that it didn't have because it was never supposed to go 55 miles. And at the time, oh, that's hilarious. My printer hasn't printed out the word because it was in a different colour because I got it off Wikipedia. Liprion, I think it's called, which is like a petroleum solvent that the car ran on. So it wasn't quite petrol.
Okay.
But basically, she got to one of the towns, one of the marketplaces, and had to buy this stuff. Where do you think you could possibly buy petroleum cleaning? Well, it's petroleum solvent that was used in like dry cleaning and stuff. Where do you think
it's
she went?
It's ethanol.
Oh, is it booze? Mm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That makes sense. Is it that way? Yeah. Is it like because it's chemical, right? So.
Like a factory. I don't know. Like it's going to be some sort of industrial.
Well, weirdly, it was at a pharmacy because apparently they would sell like fuel and shit. Like they sell arsenic at that time and fuel.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was able to buy it from a pharmacy. And apparently this pharmacy in Germany still has a little sign up saying it was the first fuel station in the world.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they really cute.
Yeah. It's sweet, right? They really milk it. Like, what was that, 140 years later or something?
We helped the first joyrider.
Yeah. I'm nerding out on the details, but I'm so curious how it actually worked. So it was different than petrol. But I feel like
it's the exact same principle as petrol.
If it didn't have a tank,
but
where
the
did
ignition,
you put it?
Yeah, I can't work out if there's no tank.
It won't have had a spare tank. It'll have the tiny tank where it happens and then you'd have to keep.
So we'll still have like a spark. It'll still have an ignition.
You would just have to probably stop every 10 minutes and
right.
top it up.
Yeah, it just has like a really small kind
Again, I bring it back to the smart car because it was exactly the same.
So they get on their way again and the fuel line gets blocked. I think we all know exactly what a fuel line is. I don't need to explain it.
Weirdly, I do know some stuff about this. Not this case, but like I know about the early cars braking and fuel lines and just every, like, it was such a rat attack kind of, they would break all, even in the like 1950s, well no, maybe not the 1950s, 1920s. Like, there would be a lot of stopping and starting and refinement as you went.
So the first fuel line got blocked. So how do you think, what do you think she used to unblock it?
Her mouth blowing or sucking.
Mm. Oh, straight in.
Okay, every episode lately has been like Katie eventually gets onto blowing or sucking. What is going on at home?
What is going on?
Maybe that's...
Yeah. So we've got blowing and sucking, Taylor.
Okay, if something's blocked and it's 1888 and I'm with my teenagers, Well, first of all, I'd make one of the teenagers do it, and I'd put a stick in it. You put sticks in it. Put a stick in there.
Sure, a stick.
Yeah. I'm with Taylor. I think a child, you know, one of the kids, and like a stick. You know, I'd just get them to pull their weight. You know, do yeah. something.
It's probably one of their arms, because kids just, they weren't as valued then. Or, so it's like maybe, your arm's skinny, you put it in there.
Quite malnourished.
Yeah.
Maybe flushing it with some water or something.
Well, it was something on her person, so it was something to do with what she was wearing.
Oh, like a hairpin, a hat pin.
Ding, 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 ding.
Really?
It was. Yeah, yeah, wow. It was her hairpin. And she used it to unblock it.
That's a big hairpin. Then,
yeah, very resourceful.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing, man. It's like she's just, everything that she comes up against, because she was this inventor as well, she was able to solve every single
problem. She understood it.
Yeah, she is, essentially.
Oh my God, McBertha. Okay. Again, I know yeah. we pitched too many shows on this podcast, but like McBertha, I'd watch that.
So I'm going to give you another question now, but it's the other way round. So she came across another problem and she used her garter to solve it. What do you think the problem was?
Oh, well, that's going to be what we use our tights for when a car breaks down. What does everyone use their tights for?
Seducing
the cam belt.
Yeah. Is it in the 70s?
Is that called a cam belt? Do they have them in the 1888?
The version of it.
Yeah. What? Or to indicate, did she just wave it out the window? So I'm turning right now.
Which?
Yeah. Was it? Did she throw it as if in like road rage at somebody? Like, yeah, don't you know what a red light is? No, it's not been invented yet. And then she threw it out the window in some man's face.
What would you have to cinch on a car? It's something you're going to have to tighten, like the exhaust, I guess?
My mum did this when a car broke down. She used a pair of tights to fix.
Hey, that was your mum's excuse. Yeah, why are your tights in the back seat? Oh, just me, I've got kids, I know, I'll be telling them all kind of shit. Like that.
Fan belt, it's called a fan belt.
Why are your knickers on the kettle? Don't worry about it, all right?
Oh, God. So, Kate, the garter, do you want to...
I'm just reassessing my mum right now.
Okay, Katie's going through something, so what we're going to do is I'll tell you.
She's like, wait, we weren't in a car. There were some red lights.
Wait a minute.
She used the garter as insulation material for the fuel line.
Overheating. No, I'll stop talking.
I don't really know what that sentence means, but... Either way, it's quite cool that she was so, like, you know, she was just using everything about herself to...
keep it going.
Keep it going. And actually, Athena, you've kind of already answered this question, because the thing that made her trip difficult was the fact that the motor wagon struggled to make it up hills. What do you think she used to get up the hills on
definitely
the way
the
to
kids.
Her
mum's house? She had them push them.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a car that was 0.8 litres. I know the feeling. Like, that car was useless.
We used to always, when we were going uphill in my mum's old, what was it? It was called an Opel Cadet. I think that's a car, but it's like we'd have to, like, everyone would lean forward to get it up a hill, and I realised it didn't really help. We must have looked fucking old as a family just all like doing that. And then when it would get too hot in the car and it would, like, there'd be condensation, she'd always be like, right, everyone stop breathing, like, as a joke. But me and my brothers would, like, nearly pass out every time just to be just more competitive. Oh, bit of fun anyway. She used her teenage boys to push her up the hills. Basically, when she got back, she invented a third gear for the car, because she said, look, this doesn't get up hills, and this is how you fix it. We need another gear. So, like, because that's not something she could do on the road. But after they got them up the hills, they had to come down again, and the brakes were made of wood.
Wow. Did they catch fire?
Do you know what? Amazingly, they didn't catch fire. But this was something she had to solve on the road. So she invented the world's first brake pads. How do you think she did that? She had to go somewhere to...
Sanitary towels! No. I just want her to be using everything on her person. Like, I've got one more card to play and it's in my pants.
Yeah, what? She's got some... I wouldn't... What? Is it
Well,
rubber?
It's not something about her person. She goes to a certain type of person who she says, can you do this to the brakes?
Like a blacksmith. We've done pharmacy,
haven't we? A cobbler. Was it
yeah.
Cobbler?
Oh, a cobbler.
Yes.
Cobbler.
Yes.
That's
spot on.
Yes.
Smart.
Because they, she,
because they're going rubber soles. That's what I was
yes.
thinking.
That's the best.
Yeah, at that moment they used leather. So it was just like the first thing that they sort of, like, she was like, can you give it a leather covering? And yeah, she invented the first brake pads, which is just like mad. So eventually they arrive at her mother's house and they telegram Carl to say they got there safely. So do you think because of Bertha's trip, do you think it did the job? Did sales go up? Did the car... I mean, we kind of know that the car was a bit of a success.
Got a leather... Like, I don't probably... I wouldn't want to buy that. not the best advertisement. Yeah, it takes you 10 hours to get somewhere. It's 55 miles away. Yeah.
yeah.
That's the equivalent of, like, you know, the SpaceX flights going up to space now. That's the equivalent. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know what? I'm going to wait till it stops blowing up. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
That's very true.
I'll wait till it's been tested a bit more, thanks.
Any advance on...
See, it must have been mixed, right? It must have been like there were people that were like, yeah, no, thank you. And then there must have been people going, oh, my God, I love technology. Like, you know, the people that love gadgets now or whatever.
Taylor, any advance?
No, I'm just picturing it. I bet it was a split crowd. Yeah.
Basically, like, it was the thing of all publicity is good publicity, and it got shitloads of publicity.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And then, basically, she took the car back, and she said to Carl, right, this needs to change. We need this, we need this, and we need that. Yeah, I mean, what do you think? How do you think Carl reacted to when Bertha... Go on.
Sorry, did she spend a night in the cells? Was she arrested?
No, she wasn't arrested. It's kind of... It's a little bit kind of like... it's not necessarily a crime. She wasn't arrested for stealing the car.
Oh, it's just technically a crime.
It's technically a crime, yeah. Drunk women solving technically a crime. how do you think Carl reacts to this?
Well, if he's really meek, he's probably annoyed he's got to do work.
And he had 10 hours at the house to himself. So, you know, he probably appreciated it, to be honest.
He was like, yeah, he couldn't even chill and watch Netflix or anything. He just had to get hammered in the garage by himself.
They stayed a couple of days as well at her mum's
house. He celebrated. He was like, yeah, take it out and waft them. Yeah. He's like, here's the keys.
Boys night.
Well, essentially, I mean, he was livid in the first instance. He was like fuming when he realised, because like she left this note on the table that essentially said gone to mum's, and she didn't say anything about the car. So it was only when he went to look in the workshop that he realised that she'd taken it.
And he had like 3 days to invent the post-it note, but he didn't. Like, he sat there with the note like, you know, it would be better if she had been able to put this on the fridge, but what a dick.
So Carl was, he was livid, but he also said in his memoirs, following the first shock, I felt an inner pride. He also said of that time, only one person remained with me in the small ship of life when it seemed destined to sink. That was my wife. Bravely and resolutely, she set the new sails of hope, but still wasn't allowed on the patent. But, you know, it's nice. He appreciated her, and he wouldn't, I mean, Mercedes-Benz might not, well, probably wouldn't exist in the way that we know them now if it wasn't for Bertha. And you can now, if you go to Germany, you can now drive that same route that she did on that day. And it's the Bertha Benz Memorial route. So if anyone fancies doing that, send us some pictures.
Yeah. Do it. Yes. 10 miles an hour.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the rule.
If anyone wants to jog that route, then please do.
Oh my God, the opposite of the Autobahn. Like, you max out at 9.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's essentially Bertha's story. So here's to the first person to steal a car.
Wow.
Yeah.
But they've never made a model called the Bertha. Like, I want the Mercedes Bertha. I would drive that. That feels like me.
Yeah, no, it is like some of this information I got from like the actual Mercedes-Benz website, and I was kind of like reading it, and there's a little video, and I was like, this is cool. And then they're like, if you want to schedule a viewing of a Mercedes-Benz, and that's when I was like, no, I don't think I will. Yeah, no, that's not for me.
That was Burns' idea, it's marketing.
She's ahead of the curve.
Catch them once they're keen, yeah.
She's the head of social media.
Mercedes-Benz. She did a proper PR stunt.
So was Mercedes a business partner? Who was Mercedes?
Mercedes is the name of the daughter of one of his business partners.
It is a daughter.
It's a daughter.
A daughter, okay.
Oh, she gets her name on it. What did she invent?
Yeah, well, no, I know, exactly.
Adolescence?
But again, like the... But the Bertha Benz does sound... It sounds like a camper van, doesn't it? Rather than like a high... high quality car.
Bertha is one of those names, yeah.
But then, you know, if this had happened, you know, maybe we'd think Bertha was glamorous if this had been written differently.
True.
Very true.
Drunk women solving crime.
We've just got enough time for a listener crime. So this is from Coral, who's written in. She says, "Dear Drunk Women, my first experience of a crime happened a few years ago when I was working at a pop-up event at a race course. Every evening in December, there would be a huge party where loads of corporate people would come and get drunk and ride the dodgems in a winter wonderland. And I sang as an ice queen. One night, I went into the big tent that housed the Wonderland, put my bag in the dressing room and went to see the sound manager. When I came back, my bag had gone. When security arrived and starts policing the party, they immediately searched the venue and even the waiters' personal lockers. They suspected it could be them, as they were a group of students who changed every night. A bit judgy, I thought, but I let them do their job. My bag was never found. I would gladly give the person who took my bag all of the money in my bank account in exchange for the absolute nightmare it was to replace the contents, my passport, cards, keys, and a hell of a lot of glitter, because she was the ice queen. And she's pretty sure that it was stolen because it was a Louis Vuitton bag, but actually it was a tenner from Turkey, so it wasn't a Louis Vuitton bag at all. Apparently her cards and ID were not used after that night. Who do you think stole the bag? What do we think?
Well, someone who lost a bet. They lost a lot of money at the race course. Had to had to make it up, you know?
Damage control.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There you go. That's a line of inquiry for you.
Yeah.
Who lost Motive. Big that night? Who lost big?
Yeah.
Who I lost guess big? Start there.
That's good.
If there's one thing we've learned in this episode, is she sure that the bag is gone?
Coral, we think. Yeah, it could have been
probably
you.
Still there.
It's in a different place.
I love the idea as well, if they watch the CCTV and this girl comes in, puts that bag down, and then an ice queen comes in and takes it. But it's just her.
We've been trying to track her, but she's very elusive.
Do you know, I think, yeah, I actually think you've solved it there with the race course because, yeah, who lost the most amount of money that night? Yeah, trying to make it back. But it was a tenner from Turkey. Any advance on that? Because otherwise I'm happy to close this case.
Or it was whoever had the shittiest role. Like, Ice Queen is pretty glam. Somebody was resentful that they didn't land that role. It was like the elf or the minion. I don't know. I don't know what the theme was, but it was somebody in a shitty costume who's like, fuck you, Louis
it was
Vuitton.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, the elf guy that had to just put everyone in the dodgems and just be like, get up, stop bouncing, like, stop fucking bumping into
that
each other.
That sounds like a nightmare, like corporate people in dodgems.
Oh, fucking hell. Nice. Drunk. Oh, horrible. Well, Coral, I hope you got out of that situation and I'm sorry you lost your bag, but yeah, go back and look at the betting stubs that night, I think.
Oh, I thought you knew. I thought you were going to tell us. Oh. I'm dying to know. How cruel. You just asked sort of three drunk people what happened. That's supposed to make them happy. Well, you know what? You probably made a mistake, love. It's probably still there.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it? It's like, if you've been a victim of a crime and want absolutely no closure, then write into Drunk Women Solving Crime. So all that's left to do is Athena, tell us, like, where can we find you?
Oh, is that it?
Oh,
no.
Yeah, that's essentially flown by.
So me, you asked me a question. Were you interrogating me?
Tell us about yourself. Where can, like, our listeners find you?
Twitter.
And, like, what are you up
to? On Twitter. It's just my name. My handle's my name. So if you can't find me, you probably won't get my jokes. So I won't spit it out for you. Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, come say hi, that'd be nice. I've got a podcast too. It's called Keeping Athena Company.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, nice. And what's that about?
Before the lockdown, people used to come around to keep my company. It's very late. I'm very lazy. You guys have got concept and stuff. I was like, just come around and have a chat, really.
I love it.
That's good. So you can find me there too. But yeah, Twitter and Instagram
cool.
mainly. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Athena, for joining us.
Yay! Athena!
Oh man, when we do these,
have a bit of applause for yourself, because I've enjoyed myself this evening.
Yay.
Yeah.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.